You're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and RadioReverb.com online. Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIV hour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Hiya, Josh here. Just want to apologise for the sound quality at the beginning and the end of the show tonight. I was having issues with my internet, so I sound like I'm playing some rackers while I'm speaking. So please stick with it. Some a great interview with Neil Bartlett, and yeah, enjoy the show.
Good evening. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello. Hi there.
How is everyone? How is you two? There's two of us tonight. There's three of us today, isn't there?
Three today. The other two are off doing other things.
Yes.
I believe. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I hope everyone's all right at home, and thanks for tuning in to the HIV Hour. Should we do a round robin? Who's first? David, how are you?
I'm good, yeah, yeah. So I've been enjoying the sunshine, and it's getting warm. I'm looking forward to the coronation. I've got four little kittens running around the house just at the moment, so I'm covered in scratches, but loving everyone else. I'm happy to do. What are you up to?
Yeah, we went to the Beaver Conference last week, so we had a good time, didn't we, Sue? We had a right old laugh.
We did. We had a busy week last week. I went for the beginning of the conference because I also had an educational talk in one of the schools in Newcastle. I managed to do that. So I went a day earlier. And then you came along on the Tuesday?
Monday. But just to explain to our listeners, the Beaver Conference is the British Association for HIV, isn't it? And they do it every... Twice a year, don't they, Sue, I think?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I have one in spring and one in autumn. Yes.
Yeah. It's just it's people, medical doctors.
Yeah,
and...
you know, they're presenting medical evidence, scientific research. Some of it can be quite heavy, but it is really great stuff that's happening, you know, and, you know, some of these amazing people that have dedicated their life to research on HIV, the medications, and it was just really interesting hearing quite a bit about that. And you were on stage, Josh.
I was talking about my experience with injectables. So which was a bit scary, but also I enjoyed doing it. It was good to get my journey across there, and I think. You were watching me, weren't you?
I was in the front row rooting for you, yes.
Yeah. I thought you were jeering me, you were booing me, weren't you, Sue?
Get off!
So if the Beaver website, we'll be able to see like presentations or recordings or posters from the conference.
Yes, you should be able to see some of it. Anyone that wants to know what was going on at the conference can. Yeah, sort of go onto the website and we'll give you a rundown of what happened at the conference. And but yeah, it was really interesting. We had some great photos taken. We've done some really great networking. We met other people from other organisations within the HIV sector, NAT, NAME, National AIDS Trust, and Positively UK. CHIB, all those amazing, amazing charities that are working in partnership with all of us to come along, you know.
Yeah, and you, what's the most surprising thing you learned from that? Because we did a few seminars, didn't we? We got a few.
That's right. They were living with HIV and we're not accessing services. I couldn't get my head around that.
There's a lot, wasn't there? I can't remember. I can't remember how many. It was in thousands, wasn't it?
Yes, it is. It is in the thousands. Obviously, they've tried to target some of the ways why they're not accessing services, and some of them they've taken off the list. But you know, if you think, you know, we were trying to think what would be, you know, and they were sort of splitting it down into area, weren't they?
Yeah.
Josh on. Yeah, it's just, you know, why are not people wanting to get onto medication? And so there must be, you know, whether it's mental health, wherever they're living, they could be homeless, there could be
minority groups.
Yeah. So that really shocked me. You're right, Josh. Yeah, I'm thinking about it now. That really did shock me, because we just take for granted we get diagnosed with HIV and we'll go on our medication. Realistic on paper, that's what we do, but we don't look behind for other people, and that may not be as straightforward. You know, we're taking it. We're here, we're happy, we're living well with our medications. We visit our doctors once every 6 months, and we take that for granted, don't we? And it's a nice taken for granted thing to situation to be in. But yeah, there's thousands of people all around the country are not accessing medication.
And that's why the injectables are important, because not everybody is comfortable with having a lot of pills in their house if they're living in a shared house, or if they're, you know, it's just not convenient for them.
Yeah, exactly.
So having different ways of receiving treatment is really valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you're right. I think more things are out there that will suit different people, and not everything's going to suit everyone, is it?
So
But I was quite surprised that this is to do with, because you went to a school, didn't you, to a Positive Voices school?
It was in the northeast. I mean, you know, I it's my birthplace, and I love going back. It was a sixth form college, and there were 17 year olds plus. And I mean, I've done loads of these talks. You know, I mean, I've talked to thousands and thousands of young people over the year, and I've been astonished on some of the times I've been there. But on this particular occasion, I just felt a slight atmosphere when I was talking about HIV for the very first time for a long time. And you know, there was a lot of misconceptions in the room about where HIV belongs and who can access the virus. And they had no idea that it can happen to heterosexual people. And I found that quite challenging, because, you know, and again, sometimes I take things for granted. Yeah, we go in and tell people this information, and they just take it all on board and take it for granted. And it was a bit of a stood me up to attention a bit to realise that, you know, there's still a lot of work to go. Now on a positive thing, obviously, when I left that session, you know, they were thanking me, and the, you know, the tutor, you know, he was amazing and thanked us so much. But whether it's an area of, and Newcastle is an area of high prevalence of late diagnosis and people living with HIV. So, yeah, interesting, very interesting.
It just shows you that there's work to be done, isn't there? And that's why Positive Voices is important, and keep to do it, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, should we go on about the show? Because it's the festival that starts this week in Brighton, isn't it? So the Brighton Festival. And David and Stephen did an amazing interview with someone, didn't you? Can you tell the listeners about it?
Yeah, so in the opening weekend of the festival at the Theatre Royal, there's a performance, it's a reworking of a film by Derek Jarman called Blue. And this event will be called Blue Now. And it's been re-envisaged by one of Derek Jarman's friends, who is Neil Bartlett, who's a quite a famous playwright, actor, and director. The original film by Derek Jarman was filmed when he was dying. He was losing his sight, and it was just a blue screen with his reflection, memories, and thoughts. And Neil's reworked that a little bit to reflect what it's like living with HIV today. So it won't be quite as dark. There'll be some parts of the performance that are quite unique from venue to venue. But I'm sure he does explain that all in the interview. And it's a real pleasure to interview him. A lovely man.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
So, hello, Stephen. We've got a very special guest today for this evening's show. It's Neil Bartlett, who is an actor, a screenwriter, and we're very delighted to have him on the show, because he's going to be
producing a show in Brighton at Theatre Royal on the 7th of May called Blue Now. It's based on a film, Blue, by Derek Jarman, who was a very famous filmmaker and again, a multi-talented person who unfortunately died of AIDS in 1993 or 94, around that time. So I remember the film coming out just as I was diagnosed. This is the film Blue. And I didn't see it at the time because I knew it was about his last days. Very self-reflective and based on his diaries. And I, at the time, just received my diagnosis. It was very raw. It was a time before treatment. And it was those dark days that we've often referred to on our show. Very different. To Stephen, you have a great theatre experience with your Shadow Dreamer show. I'll let you two start chatting, shall I?
Thank you very much, David. Yes, welcome to the show, Neil. It's wonderful to have you on today. And I'm just going to jump into it. So, Neil, a vast, array of work that you have done over the last 40-odd years.
It's all right, darling. You can say 40-odd years. I'm very old. A younger gay person, called me an elder. Yesterday, I kind of looked over my shoulder and went, who are they talking about? But I guess it's true. Yeah, I'm 64. I've been doing it for years. You're right.
And you're bringing, as David said, you're bringing Blue to us. I'm in London, so I'm going to hopefully get along to see the London production at the Tate Gallery.
That's right.
So, as David was explaining a bit about the film, the original, and you're taking it on and putting your spin on it with the wonderful Russell Tovey is one of the actors that's going to be in it. So how has this been to revisit, this film after so many years and make, putting the Neil Bartlett touch to it?
Well, I'm in the thick of it at the moment. You know, the first gig that we're doing of this rendition of the film is on May the 7th, the first Sunday of the Brighton Festival at the Theatre Royal, a place that I love and that I've worked many, many times now, often in the festival. What's really odd about it is because Blue is a film like no other. There isn't anything like. So if you don't know about it, the clue is in the title. There is no film. You sit and watch a beautiful blue screen for over an hour.
Okay, Neil. So Blue, there's going to be a lot of people that is 30 years old, and there is going to be a lot of the younger generation that don't know what Blue is. Maybe don't even know who Derek Jarman was. So can you tell us a bit about the what Blue is and what you're doing with Blue now?
Yeah, I'd love to. And actually, that thing of wanting to reach out to people who weren't born when this movie was made, who don't know about this film and probably haven't heard about Derek, because one of the great things about gay culture is we pass on our legendary ancestors. We can say to the children, listen, you don't have to invent the wheel. There are people who came before you and they did wonderful things and they had wonderful ideas. And why don't you go and find about this person or that person or this woman or that man or that trans person or that queen? And maybe that will help you with your own story. So Blue is, well, Derek Jarman was a great British artist, a painter first and foremost, but also made a whole bunch of fabulous movies, a great queer artist. And he died in February 1994. He died of HIV/AIDS. And one of the really important things about Derek, at a time when HIV was unbelievably stigmatized, in this country, and when it was a death sentence, there was no available effective medical treatment at all. Derek came out and said, yes, I have this. Yes, I am dying. I'm very happy to answer your questions. we all die. It is a medical condition. I am not frightened to speak of it. If he had done nothing else, that would make him a very important person in the history of our community to say, I will not hide. I will not be stigmatized. I'm a human being with a fatal illness. And your point is, and he did it with such grace, such dignity, such courage at a time when that was so hard. And he's coming out as someone with HIV/AIDS, gave succor and hope to so many people in that decade. In the year before he died, he became increasingly sick. He was treated at St. Bart's in London and also in St. Mary's Paddington. And like many people, one of the problems was toxoplasmosis that got into his eyes. He lost his sight gradually. And when he had his, he talks about this in the soundtrack of the film, when he had his eye treatments, I don't know if you've ever done, you know, the look up, look down, look left, look right, and they flash a bright light in your eyes so they can see what's happening with the back of the retina and is the toxo proceeding. And the color he could see, the color he was left with, was blue. So he made this extraordinary, what all you see on screen is blue, and not kind of blue or images in blue, just blue. It's a giant, trippy rectangle of pure, saturated, intense blue, and nothing else. You're gazing into the void, you're looking into heaven. And while gazing, you hear in the original film, Derek and a bunch of his friends reading a mashup of fragments from his diary, talking about what was going on with him in the hospital, with his lover, and also being Derek, talking about love and death and the meaning of life and courage and grace and what it means to say goodbye without losing your mind. And surrounding those words, there's an incredible soundtrack by a musician called Simon Fisher-Turner, who created the soundtrack for most of Derek's iconic films. And my idea was very simple, and it's been done before by other artists on other occasions, but I wanted to do it right now in the present tense for the 30th anniversary of the film. What would happen if we showed the film, but the sound was live? What would happen if the voices were in the room with you? They're not coming over loudspeakers, but there are people there actually channeling Derek's amazing words. Then I simply went, if I could have anyone, whose voices would I have? Who are the contemporary queer artists who are carrying on the great tradition of throwing their body into the fight, using their art to speak for us and through us and to us? And I came up with four fabulous people, and I asked them, and they all said yes. So Russell Tovey, who everyone will remember from that incredible last episode of The Years, where he made everyone cry. Jay Bernard, great activist, archivist, voice of Black communities in South London, and a wonderful, beautiful, elegant queer writer. Travis Alabanza, amazing firebrand voice of everyone who's ever been othered and is not putting up with it any longer. Wonderful young artist. Joelle Taylor, the poet who just won the T.S. Eliot Prize. And like I say, I just phoned them and, guys, I've got this mad idea. Yes, they said yes. Actually, Russell was already thinking about doing this. He'd already approached the rights holders for the film. Could he maybe do a live version? And they said, yeah, but we've got this other queen who's interested in Neil Bartley. And Russell, God bless him, phoned me up and said, so listen, we're both thinking about the same thing. Let's do it together. And then, as if that wasn't enough, then Simon Fisher-Turner, who created the original soundtrack, called me and said, I'd like to come back. I'll do it again. I'll play live for you. So what people are going to experience, and we're doing this in four very different places, but for one night only, because it's not like a theatre show. I'm not turning it into a play. Mm-hmm. It's a happening. It's a gig. Let's be together in a room for one night only. And the film will be there. Simon will be at the side of the stage with his amazing computers and electronic soundtrack bank conjuring music out of the air. And then my four brilliant actors will be seated with in front of them, channeling. I mean, we will have worked together. I'm going to work with them to create the vocal music of the piece, because it's really like, think of a piece of chamber music, a string quartet, but it's voices instead of violins. And they are going to be channeling Derek's words, so that the question of what does it mean to remember our dead 30 years later isn't an abstract question. It's what's it like when Travis, who wasn't even born, mm-hmm. speaks the names of the dead from 1993. At one point, Derek lists the people he's thinking of that day as he writes his diary, because he was one of those people who lost almost everybody. And like I say, I want to give people a chance to sit with that moment and to know that we're doing that together and that this is our space. People talk about safe space a lot, and as my trans friends remind me, there isn't any safe space. Hatred and doubt and fear, and they can get you anywhere, in your bed, in your bus, in the nightclub. They're around, they're in the air, they can get you. But there can be a space. I'm lucky enough to be with friends with the wonderful performance artist Nando Messias, and he says, let's not talk about safe space, let's talk about cozy space. And what he means is, let's say, listen, this is our space. We set this gig up. We chose the people who are here. We invited you, the punters, and you've chosen to come. And we're all here in a spirit of respect. And therefore, we can let our feelings show. We can be together. We can say, this is our story. We all have a different place in this story. Something like, David, I know you've said, and thank you for sharing that story, you got your diagnosis just when Blue came out, and you didn't want to watch the film then. The first time I saw it, I couldn't, my mind was closed to it. I didn't enjoy it at all. It didn't speak to me because I was going, it's bad enough to have all this in real life without having to have it on the soundtrack of this stupid movie where there's no pictures anyway. I love Derek. He was a wonderful man. I knew him. I loved his films. But Blue, I just went, give me a flipping break, Mary. And I've changed. The world has changed. And now every time I watch it, I want it to start again. I don't want to leave the space it offers me. So we all have different stories that we bring into the space of this film. And so what I want to offer people who come to the gig is to say, listen, this is our space. Let us sit together and hear what this very wonderful, very brave, very gracious man had to say about what we all went through.
Radio Reverb. Fine. Radio Reverb.
obviously HIV AIDS, it's changed, thankfully, you know, over the years, since Derek's death, and since Blue was first done. But why, you know, do you think that it's important for younger people to see this, and, you know, get to know a bit more about Derek's work and what his experience was? What do you think is the importance in that, Neil?
Because for me personally, because he has so much to offer, I think history is carried in the body. It's not so much what people say, but what people do. And Derek did what he did with grace and with courage. And just the simple fact of knowing, because, you know, I'm 64, and younger students or whatever, when I'm teaching younger queer people of whatever denomination, they all say to me, so what was it like? What was it like? You know, God, it must have been so terrible, they say. It must have been so terrible. And if I'm having a good day and I want to talk about it, I say, yeah, but what I remember is how we looked after each other. I remember all those benefits I rocked up at. I remember when you went to St. Mary's to visit someone, the place was really busy with people who had come to care. I remember the demonstrations. I remember the anger. I remember all the incredible art that was made, the pop music, the pop videos, the movies, the paintings, the books, all the things where we showed our love and where we showed our strength. And so I think that's where I'm coming from. It isn't at all, oh, you really, you know, wagging finger.
Yeah.
You, the young people, you must learn your history because it's very good for you. It's like eating your greens. No, no, no. Listen, the world is a terrifying place, right? The world is a terrifying place right now. I don't know how 23-year-olds get up in the morning. What we face, it's so hard. So listen, here is this glorious queen who's going to literally talk about it, go writing in his diary. So today, I can't see my lover. I've lost a bit more of my sight, and I can't see my lover. Here is how I feel. Here is what I'm doing with my anger. I'm getting my friends around me, and I'm making this film. I'm making a testament. And Blue ends with love. Blue ends with Derek saying, unbelievably, we will all be forgotten. No one will remember our names. No one will care. But by the end of the film, the images that you take away with you, there's one amazing bit where he's talking about being with his beloved, who was a beautiful man called Keith Collins, who Derek nicknamed HB, where he's kind of evoking a moment where I think they're waking up together and Derek can't see him. And he just says, kiss me again, kiss me again and again. Well, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
That'll keep me going in the days when I go, oh God, I'm 64. I'm so tired. I'm so angry. I'm so frightened. I don't know. When he's losing everything and he's surrounded by hatred. And what does he want to talk about? He wants to talk about that moment when you say to your beloved, kiss me again. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that he made that moment shine forever? So it's an incredibly intimate testament. an act of bearing witness. And I think it takes us to the place of where does our energy come from for the ongoing struggle? Because just even talking about HIV, yes, of course, the landscape has changed totally with the advent of effective medication. Has the stigma gone away? No. No, it hasn't. It isn't just any other disease. I mean, you know, David, you're smiling bravely on the other part of the screen because we're on a Zoom call. The stigma hasn't gone away. Well, why is that? Why is that still? And how can we keep eroding that away so that no one, no one has to go through terror? There's enough terror involved in being diagnosed with any medical condition. Yeah. But why can't AIDS just be like prostate cancer? Why can't HIV be like prostate cancer? There is no flipping difference. Now, can we all keep working towards a culture in this country where there actually is no flipping difference? The only question is, did you get diagnosed in time and have they got you on the right medication? Thank God for the NHS. Not, oh, it's HIV. No, stop in your tracks. That's not right. So there's all of that. And as I say, why are we in the midst once again of this paroxysm of hatred against our trans sisters and brothers? That bewilders me, and that makes me want to lie down in the dark room and go, okay, so I've wasted my life. None of it made any difference. All that requires is some lazy junior minister to go, oh, I think the trans people are coming to steal our kiddies. Let's talk about that. That'll win a few more votes. And hey, presto, it does.
Neil, I understand that the production of Blue now is touring in four different locations. So Brighton, we're very lucky to have you for the first one. So each performance, are we quite spontaneous in terms of how the performers react to the atmosphere in the building and on stage?
I think they're going to be very different in how they feel. As I say, each one is for one night only. They're happening in four very different rooms. So Brighton for the opening, we're at the Theatre Royal, gorgeous, and, you know, whatever, 700, 800 seats. So, and it's selling really well. So there's going to be a great crowd. And then next weekend, we're at the Turner Contemporary in Margate. So a posh, modern art gallery space with an amazing view of the sea. It's one wall of the room we're in is glass, and the view will be of the setting sun sinking into the sea. And I'm going to frame Derek's film against that view. Then the week after that, we're up in Manchester. Hooray! And there we're at home in the cinema upstairs in a home. Beautiful studio cinema, so just 200 and something seats. So that's going to be very intimate, very still. That strange thing that cinema does where you're right in the heart of the city, but it transports you to another place, but no windows in that room because it's a cinema. And then for the final gig, we're at Tate Modern in London. But we're not in the main old building. We're in the new wonky building up the side, the Blavatnik building, right up on the fifth floor. And the reason I chose that space, it has an incredible view of the city and the river at night. And the river was very important to Derek. He lived just down from the Tate at Blackfriars, a bankside. And I thought for a film that is so much a work of art, that's so much about time and the flow of time and the ebb and flow of time, how fantastic for people to, as well as being able to see the film, they'll be able to see all the lights of the City of London reflected in the old Mother Thames, still rolling past, saying to us, hey team, better pay attention. The years is rolling by, make the best of them that you can. So each of the rooms is very different. And also specifically Simon Fisher Turner, who's creating the score, he's improvising each night. Okay. The score isn't written down. It isn't a set of notes on a piece of paper. It's Simon responding to the words as they unfurl live. So we're never going to know where in his, is he going to play with the sound of a trumpet? Is he going to play with the sound of the sea outside Derek's home down in Dungeness?
It's not only going to be seeing it live in those venues, is it? It's going to be available online as well, isn't it, Neil?
It is, in a very particular way. We're not doing the thing. They said to me, shall we film it and we can put it online? And I said, wait, hang on. I mean, the film exists. We don't need to put Blue online. Film, you could, if you want to find Blue, the original Blue with Derek's voice and the voice of his friends, then you can find that. That is there online. What we're creating online, we're working with a company called WeTransfer, you know, the we all use if you want to send a movie or loads of pictures or something to everybody. They're our sponsors for this event. And what we're doing with them, we're creating a microsite, effectively, a portal on the WeTransfer website, where you can go in, and we've made six short audio pieces where each of the artists involved, so Joel, Travis, Jay, Russell, Simon, and me, we've each written and recorded a short audio reflection on Derek and the work and what it means to us, that really the things that the three of us have been talking about today. And those are being accompanied by visuals, which a selection of curated contemporary artists are creating visuals to go with our meditation. And you can also, Russell and I spent an early morning in Derek's favourite cafe in London, the Maison Berthaud in Soho, where Michelle and Tanya were kind enough to let us in early one morning, and we sat and had a cup of coffee and nattered about Derek. Again, a kind of introduction, an opening of the door. So if you, I didn't want to pretend that I could give people this live experience by pointing a camera at it and live streaming it. It's not really that kind of event. And also I feel if that's what you want, you'd be better off going to Derek's original. But we've created a kind of parallel iteration, which has the same function. If you want to, as it were, meet Derek and find out about who was this guy that I vaguely heard of, but I don't know that much about him, and why are this particular crew of contemporary queer LGBTQ plus artists, what's the connection? Why do they want to talk about him? Well, go on to the WeTransfer website. It'll be up. Where are we now? We're at the end of March. It'll be up and live in a couple of weeks, I hope. Go on there, pick one of the artists and find out more.
Wonderful. Well, I'm off to get my ticket now, because
good.
I don't want to be missing this when it's in London. So, Neil, from all of us here at the HIV Hour, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this work that you're doing with us, and also sharing your work with everybody else out there that's going to get to experience it. It's been a great honor to speak to you today.
It's been lovely. Thank you, guys. And to everyone who's listening, this radio recording is a cozy space. I felt very cozy. I felt very free to talk. So everyone who's listening, thank you for your attention, and it's nice to meet you. So bye-bye for now.
Thank you.
Bye.
97.2. Radio Reverb.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM in brightonair.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also get us on our really famous podcast. You can look on our website and obtain any of our podcasts on there. On there, are all brilliant.
That was an amazing interview, David, with you and Steve.
Man, I'm really looking forward to going seeing the show on Sunday.
Yeah, it's I mean, the festival's an amazing thing, isn't it, really? It's got lots of
so nice that, I mean, Brighton Festival is the largest arts festival in England, outside of Edinburgh. And so to have something that's HIV related in the opening weekend and have it such high prominence, it's really credit to how forward thinking Brighton is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's going around the country as well.
Yes, it is.
So, any community news? Sue, you're doing something on
Yes, Friday, I'm doing something. And I think this is all part, actually, it's all come into place now. I believe it's something to do with the Brighton Festival. I'm going to be attending the Gay Men's Chorus in Kemp Town. They're going to be the Terence Higgins Trust. They're collecting for the Terence Higgins Trust. And I'm going to be on stage doing a 5-minute speech, obviously talking about, you know, the 2030 goal on how we can get everybody involved and end in HIV transmission by 2030, and also encouraging people to donate. And basically just to tell everybody in the audience and everybody that's listening that, you know, the Terence Higgins Trust will be here until the very last person is diagnosed with HIV. That's the commitment.
So I'm
looking forward because I've been invited to obviously see the show, so I'm really looking forward to that. They're also performing on the Saturday evening as well, so, and I believe it's all part of the Brighton Festival, so yes, looking forward to that.
Where's that going to be, Sue? Do you know, in Kemp Town?
It's in Kemp Town, and it's, I think it's St George's Church. It's a church. Do you know which one? Sorry, I'm not familiar with Kemp Town, but yes, that's right, it's near the Lawson unit. So yeah, I hope we have a good turnout on both of the evenings, and it's 7:30 on the Friday and 7:30 on the Sunday. 7:30 on the Friday and 7:30 on the Saturday. I'm losing my track of days because of these bank holidays. Keep getting mixed up. Yeah. Yes. Oh my goodness, there's another bank holiday. I can't keep up. Oh.
Don't know what to wear.
I know. I'm running out of outfits.
But a bit more community news. I'm DJing again on Saturday. Yay. It's the Bears at the Bully at the Bulldog on St James Street in Brighton. So when you've celebrated with the King and Queen, Boogie, and looking forward to that. Saturday evening. So that's good. And that's all for the Sussex Beacon and for the
Brighton. You're raising. Brilliant.
So it's all in a good cause.
Good, of course.
And David, you were saying about this comic that I've not heard of this.
On the internet, I discovered there's a comic being created, or I think the grown-ups now call it them graphic novels, don't they? So this is a comic produced by two professors in Scotland. So that one at the University of Stirling, Scotland, and one at the University of St Andrews. And it's about transnational AIDS activism. So going back to the 1980s and 90s, it looks at the different experiences of countries like the UK, Italy, Germany, and Greece. And it's really good. I mean, it really does highlight, you know, the key people behind the sort of movements in each of those countries, the people that got things moving, the people that alerted the public to the dangers that people faced. But I have an issue because in the sort of notes that they released the comic with, they used HIV and AIDS in lowercase letters.
Right. Now,
HIV is an acronym, and so is AIDS is an acronym. So whenever I see AIDS written down in lowercase letters, I'm thinking, what, mobility AIDS, hearing AIDS? What
yes, kind of AIDS? Yes.
So, and then they do explain their reasons for it, but I must disagree with them. So that they say that they consulted, these professors consulted German scholars and some Greek activists. And the scholars said that they differentiate between AIDS as a socio-political phenomenon and AIDS as an illness. So they've got the lowercase as a phenomenon and AIDS in uppercase as an illness. And then the Greek activists said that capitalizing HIV and AIDS in general makes the conditions sound too scary and closer to a death sentence. Thus, they argue that it is not conducive to their aim to present them as a difficult and challenging conditions, but still ones with which people can live, at least into the mid-1990s, if they take the appropriate course of action. Mm-hmm. So this is the Department of History looking at activism in the early days, and that they're changing the history as we experience it. So we experience some really scary times, those people who are, mm-hmm. have been living with HIV long term, and to try and say that it's, I mean, it isn't scary now, I accept that, but to say it wasn't scary then, and by changing the language and changing it from an acronym to a non-acronym, as I think, I just don't get it. I don't know if it's considered to be woke, I don't know if I'm too old and I just don't get it, or I'm not academic enough to understand, but I lived through, you know, the late 80s and 90s, and it was scary. And HIV stands for human immunodeficiency virus, and AIDS stands for acquired immunity deficiency syndrome.
Yeah.
Thankfully, both are rarer than they used to be, but they were scary. And although, you know, you shouldn't use fear as a motivating tool for people to take the behaviour and get tested, you know, it's still serious if you don't get tested.
Like airbrushing it out, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. No, it's changing history whilst the people who made that history are still alive. I mean, by all means, have a look at it through a prism in future generations. But whilst I'm still alive, it's my it's my story, not his story or her story. It's my story or our story, shall I say?
Yeah.
So to change the language quite so soon, you know, when we're still alive. Perhaps that's, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm on the show, that'd be interesting.
Because people are entitled to disagree with each other, aren't they? I'm not challenging the people, just the idea.
So we're coming to the end of the show. We're all going to be in the studio next time. So I think Stephen's coming down from London. So we're going to record in the studio, which should be really, really nice.
Yes, it will be.
Actually, yeah. So that's next edition of the HIV Hour. Thanks for listening, and contact us on the HIV email, hiv@gmail.com, if you want to come on the show or you've got any ideas, that'd be great. Our Twitter is HIV_hour, and our Facebook is HIV Hour Reverb, so you can join our Facebook page or Twitter pages, so that'd be great. See you all next week.
Yes, have a nice weekend, everybody. It's a long one.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news, and views on living positively with the virus.